In our scripture today, as we follow the story of David, we learn that in the mounting pressure and what was coming forth, that David's heart was in the right place. His heart is in the right place, and we can hear that in his own words. Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. The tragedy of the story is that though his heart was in the right place, it was too late. You see, the moment had come, and perhaps David had had a change of heart because he knew what was going to happen. The moment had built up. In this day, a great battle was to ensue, and it was going to be settled once and all between David and his son Absalom, his son who had run him out of his palace, who had threatened his kingdom, who had anointed himself king over the people. And here, all of the pressure, all of this has built up into a great battle. And David knows. He knows that on this day, one of them will be victorious and one of them will fall. Only one of them could be king over Israel. And it was going to be settled right then, right there. And David knew that the chances of both of them surviving this day was very slim. And the odds were in David's favor. And so he feared that this day would bring the end of his son. So perhaps it's that pressure, perhaps it's that moment that turns his heart around. Deal gently. Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. His heart was in the right place. It was just too late. Of course, it didn't have to come to all of this. It didn't have to come to this moment where everything was put on the line. This is something that could have been resolved. This is a conflict that could have been made right long ago. But David failed to take that opportunity. There was trouble in his house. And it was not reconciled. Of course, it all goes back. The point of this story, the build up to this story, all goes back to last week's text, to Nathan's own words, when Nathan spoke to David about his wrongdoing, and when David confessed his sins and repented of what he had done. And we remember the words of Nathan, who says, "The Lord has put away your sin, you shall not die." But we know that that's not all that Nathan the prophet said. He said, "David, there's going to be trouble. Trouble is coming." I think that it would have been a whole lot easier for David if his trouble would have come from outside, if it would have come from the Amorites or the Philistines or some other enemy. I think he could have dealt with it if that were the case. But the trouble came from his own house, and it caused him a lot of grief. That started shortly after the episode with Nathan. It was his oldest son, Ammon, who caught and paid attention to his own sister. And he wanted to have his own sister. And being a prince, he got his way. And he took his sister, and he raped her. Now this made David angry. He was frustrated that this would happen. that his oldest son, the son that he loved, would do such a thing to his own family, that he would break such a law, that he would bring such terror. But though David was angry and frustrated, he didn't do anything about it. He didn't punish his oldest son. And this made his other son, Absalom, upset. Absalom was furiated that his brother had done what he had done to his sister, but he was frustrated with his father because he didn't do anything. And perhaps we can understand why David didn't want to do anything to his oldest son. I think that perhaps David thought that it was his own fault, that he is the one who brought sexual immorality into the house. He is the one that allowed that to begin and to happen, and now he's paying the consequences, and he's frustrated in his anger, but he doesn't do anything. And Absalom is frustrated and angry because of that, and he decides to do something. And he pulls all the brothers aside and makes like he's having a big party, and at the right time, he has his brother Amnon killed. Stabbed. He takes matters into his own hands. And now David is really angry because things are getting out of control. He's angry because Absalom has taken this matter into his own hands, that he doesn't feel that he has control over his family, that Absalom acts, and this puts a great rift between him and David, his father. And Absalom knows that he can't go back home. He's too afraid of what might happen. He has taken the life of his brother, and David may take, his father may take his own life. And so Absalom goes and lives in exile. And David, after all of that is done, tries to lead his kingdom, tries to provide leadership and to clean things up and straighten things out. But it becomes very evident that David is preoccupied, that his thoughts are somewhere else. David's mind is on Absalom. He can't stop thinking about it. Now, interestingly enough, Joab, the commander, David's commander, picks up on this. And he says, David can't continue to lead in this way. His mind is preoccupied. And so he devises a plan to get David to allow Absalom to come home. And it works. David sends for his son to move back home, to move back in to his son's own house. Absalom returns to the city. But for 2 years, 2 years, David fails to even call for his son, to see his son. There his son is living right in the neighborhood, right around the corner, and he won't even speak to him or talk to him. And Absalom wants to be reconciled with his father. He wants things to be made right. He wants his father's forgiveness, but his father won't even send for him. So Absalom pesters Joab, "Hey, give me a meeting with the king. Allow me to be brought in front of him." Joab forgets it. He's tried to make things right. He's tried to get David to reconcile with his son. David won't do it. Joab forgets about it. Absalom pressures Joab, even sets his field on fire, and says, "You got to get me before my father." And so this forced meeting takes place. And David, in ceremonial fashion, kisses his son in a sign of forgiveness. But it's only a show. In his heart, he hasn't let go. Because of that, Absalom begins to resent his father. and it begins to win the favor of the people. He anoints himself king. He takes on a big following. He becomes so popular that David is worried for his life and has to flee the kingdom, has to flee the palace, and is on the run. And then we come to today's story. Everything is coming to a head. And David's heart is in the right place, but it's too late. And here's the lesson from this story, a lesson that we all need to hear, that we all need to understand, the lesson that we need to take seriously, the lesson that reconciliation, for the most part, only has a small window of opportunity. And if we fail to meet that opportunity, reconciliation is lost, and terror and destruction occur. David had the chance. He had the opportunity to reconcile with his son, but he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't do it. And here's the thing with reconciliation, with forgiveness. We cannot wait until we are ready. If we wait until our hearts are ready, if we wait to forgive, to make things right with those that we love, with those that we care for, if we wait until we're ready, we wait too long. We're too late. To deny reconciliation is to accept death. To accept reconciliation, to bring about reconciliation, is to bring new life. David was ready to reconcile with Absalom, but he was too late. He missed the opportunity. It caused great pain and death. The loss of his own son. We know this to be true in life. We know this story speaks to the truth of life. We've seen it. We've seen it, some of us, in our own families, how people refuse to forgive and the terror that that brings. We've seen it in the lives of our neighbors. As a pastor, I've seen it. I have buried sons who would not forgive their parents. And I have buried fathers who failed to say that they were sorry to their sons. Reconciliation has a small window of opportunity. We have to take it. When that opportunity comes, we have to forget about ourselves. We have to forget about our feelings. We have to forget about our anger. We have to open our hearts. We have to allow love to rule. And we have to take the point. We have to take that opportunity. Because that opportunity will not last forever. The heart of reconciliation is about timing. It's not about when we're ready, but when the moment presents itself. We know how devastating and deadly the failure to reconcile can be. A couple of weeks ago, I got into the History Channel's miniseries on the Hatfield and McCoys. I don't know if you saw that, but I recorded it and stayed up late to watch it. It was just a powerful story, a powerful dramatization of the events. And in this story, we truly see the terror and the cost of the failure to reconcile. In the way the History Channel tells the story, the two head families, the heads of the two families, were actually friends. And they were fighting together in the Civil War. And those two fought side by side. Devil and Hatfield and Randall McCoy. But Ann's Hatfield had had too much. He had too much of the war. He escaped in a battle with unlikely odds, and he showed back up, and he had had enough. He was ready to leave and go home. But Randall McCoy stayed. He could not give up the fight. He could not abandon the army, and so he stayed. And because he stayed, their army, their forces were captured, and they were put into a camp, a war camp, where they were starved and dealt with disease and all kinds of terror. And of course, the war was over, and at the end of the war, these two friends had a chance to come together. And they come together in all places but the church. Devil Hatfield in the church, and Randall McCoy. But Randall McCoy cannot get over the betrayal of his friend. And after church, he can't let it go. And because he failed to take that window of opportunity for reconciliation, his family, both families, went through decades of terror. Randall McCoy lost his three sons, the daughter that he loved so dearly. His wife even was taken away from him, all because he could not come to the place to reconcile. And I understand that there are times when things are so bad and people have been so evil and our anger is so strong, but we have to invite God in. We have to allow God to open our hearts. Be the strength that we cannot be to take reconciliation when it comes. David's heart was in the right place, but he was too late. And as it turns out, the battle was a slaughter. David's men destroyed Absalom's army. And Absalom was on the run. And you know how it works. You know the story. His mule is running through the forest. And Absalom, his greatest characteristic is his hair, his strong, his beautiful, his full head of hair. And that head of hair is caught in the thicket. And the mule continues to go, and there he is, suspended in the thicket by his hair, caught between heaven and earth, caught in the circumstance of his father's wrongdoing and his father's inability to reconcile at the right time. Caught between heaven and earth. And of course, it was Joab's warriors that find him. And they remember David's words, and they're not sure what to do. But Joab knows what to do. He's a commander. He's a fighter. And an opportunity has presented itself. And Joab is not going to allow this opportunity to pass. You know, it's too much of David to ask. It's too much for David to think that his commander can just have a change of heart, that his commander can take away his ability to kill and take this opportunity. It is Joab, the one that David says, go and take care of Uriah. He kills the one that can blame David. And here now is David's son, and he cannot take away the sword. This is too good of an opportunity. There is no guarantee that Absalom is going to accept his father's forgiveness. There's no guarantee that he won't continue to rebel against his father and be a threat. And so Joab takes his spear and puts an end to the rebellion. His heart was in the right place, but it was too late. And we can hear his heart. The pain of his heart when the word finally came to David. Oh, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. It brings us back to those words of Nathan. You will not die. And in this moment, because of his failure to reconcile, David wished that he was dead, wished that he would have paid the price instead of the son that he loved. And so today's heart is a blue heart. It's a sorrowful heart. A heart of love, but a heart that was too late. Let us learn from David. Let us take the opportunity to reconcile when it presents itself. And so now, as far as we are concerned, the heart is complete. The heart of David, a man after God's own heart. And as we look at the heart, we see that it's not perfect, that it's not just beautiful, that it really is a mixture of emotions. We remember that it was his heart that God allowed him, that called God to ordain him because he had such a passionate heart. And we remember in his youth that faithful heart, that complete devotion to God, knowing that he could take out Goliath. And we see the passion of David committing his whole self to worshiping God in front of the ark. And of course, we cannot tell the story without remembering Bathsheba and the broken heart, the strayed heart. But though David was king, though he was powerful, when he was called on his sin, he repented. And with a clean heart, tried to put everything back together. And yet today we know he was too late. Everything that David did was out of heart, sometimes good, sometimes bad, and sometimes just too late. But it was a heart. He had heart. And when we look at this heart, it makes me think, you know, that maybe David is not so different than the rest of us. Maybe he's not just some superhero of the faith that has some super abilities that we don't have. Maybe he's just like us, an ordinary guy with a big heart chasing after God. And though today's story is sad, we know that it's not the end of David and not the end of his story. In fact, as you read on in the 19th chapter and on, we see that David really learns from this. He becomes gracious to those who have betrayed him. He begins to make sound judgments. He begins to love his people. And we also know that David's life was not the end of the story. And that it is a powerful story that we benefit from. For we know when we look back into Samuel, that God says to David, you will not build me a house with brick or mortar. But instead, you will build a dynasty. He would be the beginning of a dynasty of kings. And through David, one day, we would be given our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the pure heart, and the one who can purify our hearts, reconcile us with God, forgive us of our sins, and give us eternal life. Heart of David is the beginning of it, beginning of the redemption of God with Christ. Thanks be to God.